So he chose Moshe to go to Mitzrayim, and he gave him these signs. And as much, of course, as Moshe didn't want to go, because for himself, he doesn't all of a sudden want to become the leader of the Yidden and go to Pari and start speaking to Pari. But this is not because Moshe wants, it's a shlichas from Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu believes in Hashem and he has to do what Hashem says. Moshe goes home, he tells his wife Sipira and his two sons, Gershom and Eliezer, we're going to Mitzrayim. What? Mitzrayim? Are you sure? Isn't it dangerous in Mitzrayim with all the slavery going on there, with Pari, what he's doing? Moshe says, look, we have to go. Didn't explain too much. They packed up, they started to go. They go to Mitzrayim. As soon as they get to Mitzrayim, Kinalach, all of a sudden, coming towards them is Aharon, Moshe Rabbeinu's brother, his older brother, Aharon. Now, at this time, Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old, and Aharon was older. He was about 83 years old. Now, Kinalach, how did Aharon know to go out to Moshe? Aharon was a great tzaddik, and he had Ruach HaKodesh, and Hashem spoke to Aharon, and he told Aharon that your brother Moshe is coming. Now listen to me very carefully, because this is a very important and interesting lesson. He says, Aharon, I chose Moshe to be the leader of the Yidden, but he needs somebody to go along with him, to speak for him. Because when he speaks to Paroi, he cannot speak clearly, he cannot speak well, he burned his mouth. Aharon, I want you to go along with Moshe, he will tell you what to say, and you will speak to Paroi. Now, who was older, Aharon or Moshe? Aharon. Think for a minute. How should Aharon feel? He's the older brother. He's also a big tzaddik. As we know, Aharon became the Kohen Gadol. And the younger brother is going to be the leader. And Aharon, the older brother, is only going along with the younger brother to help him out. How should Aharon feel? Kinalach, a regular person might feel very bad, might feel jealous, might feel upset. Why didn't Hashem choose me? Why my younger brother? But I want to tell you something. You know how Aharon felt? He felt happy in his heart. Happy for his brother, that his brother has the schus to become the leader of the Yidden. And he wasn't jealous and he wasn't angry. He was happy. Hashem saw in his heart how he was happy for his brother. Hashem never forgot that. And Hashem rewarded Aharon midah keneged midah. Aharon later on got to wear something over his heart that nobody else in the world got to wear. When he became the Kohen Gadol, he wore the Choshen Mishpat and the Urim V'Tumim, the special 12 stones in the gold, and there was a special thing in there called the Urim V'Tumim. This is a special thing, if you remember the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, remember? Did you ever see the beautiful clothes of the Kohen Gadol? Talks about it in Parshas Tetzaveh. Anyway, Aharon wore this over his heart. Why did he wear this? And only he got to wear it. Because Hashem said, the heart that was happy for the brother, it gets to wear these special, beautiful, halakha things over his heart. And this was like a reward, mida keneged mida. And Moshe and Aharon see each other. They had not seen each other for about 60 years. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was away for a long time. And many things happened during the time that Moshe was away. I only told you a few of them. And all of a sudden, Aharon says to Moshe, who are these people that you're bringing? And Moshe says, my wife and my kinalach. Aharon says, no, send them back to me. Aharon said, send them back home. Send them back because for the Yidden that are already here, it's so dangerous and it's so terrible. To bring new people, to schlep around new people into this problem, it's not worth it. Moshe turned to his wife and his kinalach and he said, you have to go home until things are safer and calm down. And Sipaira and Gershom and Eliezer, they went back to Midian, and Moshe went alone with Aaron to Mitzrayim. Moshe says to Aaron, we have to go to Paroi, and we have to tell Paroi to let the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Okay? Let's go right away. Why should we wait? They went to the palace now of Paroi. And it happened to be Paroi's birthday that day. And Paroi was having a big birthday party in his special room. And Paroi was sitting on his throne with all of his special friends and guests and officers and generals and big shots. Now let me tell you a little thing about Paroi's palace. Paroi's palace had 400 doors. 400 entrances. Each entrance had guards with swords and knives, and they were very mean. You could not get past these entrances very easily, you can imagine, except, of course, if you had an invitation. If you had an invitation, that means that Paroi called you to come to the palace. The guard has a list. Who is invited? Who is not invited? If Paroi wrote your name down on the list and you're invited, the guard will let you through. If not, you'll not get past that guard because he was trained to keep people out with his knives and his swords and everything else that he had. That's the first step towards Paroi's palace. Once you go inside past the 400 entrances, there's a big yard around the palace. You go now into the yard. In the yard, there were special wild animals. Not only wild animals that could attack and that could hurt, but they were under the spell of magic. As I told you, in Mitzrayim, there was a lot of magic. In every block, there was a magic store. And the main thing in school that they learned was not Lahavdil Chumash, or not Gemara, and not Mishnayos. They learned magic. And after regular magic, they learned black magic. And after regular black magic, they learned special black magic. And all kinds of magic stuff that they did. And they wore all their special hats and all their special things that they learned and the special languages they used. And all of these things they taught at this school. And even a baby in Mitzrayim knew all kinds of magic stuff. What to do. And the best students in the class, who knows, maybe they could even make their teacher disappear. But anyway, every animal had a magic spell, like a magic koyach, over him. What did this do? By magic, the animals knew who was invited to come to the palace and who was not invited. Now, for example, that day was Paroi's birthday party. Paroi wrote down on the list, or he told his servant to write it down, because, you know, Paroi doesn't want to waste time writing if his servant can do it. The servant writes down who is invited. The list goes to each guard. By magic, the animals also know who's invited. When the person comes through the gate into the yard, if he's invited, and if he's holding a nice present for Paroi, the animals will not bother him, they'll leave him alone, and he'll walk back past the lions and the tigers with their big teeth, and the attacking elephants, and the poison bees and snakes and lizards, and the big water bugs and all the other stuff that was crawling around over there, and they won't even bother him. He'll walk past like being in a big zoo or something. But if he was not invited, if his name is on the list, or maybe even if he's not bringing such a nice present that Paroi's going to like, and he's walking through the yard, those animals know by magic that he is not on the list. And he will never get across the yard. Never. Because those animals will attack him, they'll finish him, either they'll bite him or sting him or put poison in him or whatever they're going to do to him. They'll eat him up before he gets to the other side. And that's it. Finished. No one will ever get to the other side of the yard alive from these magic animals. Then the last step is the emergency right next to Paroi's special room. Paroi sits in a special room, the other side of the yard. He sits on his throne. And outside of that door that goes into his room are two big monsters. Not just regular guards, but two big monsters. And these monsters have so much magic inside of them, they're almost popping from the magic. They have so much magic. They have magic eyes and magic ears, and they have magic teeth and magic hands and magic legs. They are dripping with magic. And those are the Paroi's personal guards outside of his room. And if anybody would ever somehow figure out some kind of a way to get past all the other magic animals, so they'll never ever get past the monsters. Now the thing is, till then, nobody ever even tried, except a few times, to get past the magic animals. And those few times they tried to get past the magic animals, they were sorry. They were sorry for a few seconds, and then they weren't around anymore to even be sorry, because they never got too far. This day by the birthday party, Kindalach, everyone was in for a big surprise. Paroi is sitting on his throne. The birthday party's going on. People are having the cake. They're blowing up balloons. They're singing. They're eating and drinking. There's nosh everywhere. And Paroi is opening his presents on his throne. He's having such a good time with his party hat over his crown. And Paroi is in such a good mood. It's his birthday. The band is playing the music. Guests, most of them already came already. A few late ones are coming. All of a sudden, there comes to the palace Moshe and Aaron. Do you think that they were invited to come to Paroi's birthday party?
No.
Absolutely not. All of a sudden, Moshe and Aaron come now to the outside 400 entrances. And the guards are there. They see these two Yidden with beards. And they're walking now towards the gates. And right away they see, two people that are not invited. And they're coming on Paroi's birthday now. Oh, boy. We're going to have now a job to do. It looks pretty easy. Doesn't look like they have any weapons or anything. They're just two old rabbis. Well, we're just going to scare them away. And Moshe and Aaron go right to the entrance. They start to go through, and the guards say, "Are you invited? You're not allowed to come in here." And Moshe and Aaron look them in the eyes. They say, "Move aside, we're going through." And the guards got so afraid. Okay, 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 okay. They were so afraid, they became like babies. They did not do anything to Moshe and Aaron. And Moshe and Aaron go now through the gates. As soon as they go through the gates, Paroi, who was sitting up on the top of his big throne, as you know, was a very big throne with all those steps on it, Paroi notices outside these two Yidden coming through the yard. He'd never seen before anybody coming through his yard that wasn't invited. And he says to his guests, "Who are those two men with the beards going to the yard? Did I invite them?" He asks his officers, and he asks his generals, and he asks his guests, "Who are those people?" "I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. They must not be invited. Hey, let's all watch how the magic animals are going to eat them up." Everybody got excited. They start looking at the magic animals, the lions and the tigers with the big teeth, and the magic snakes and the poison bees, and the big water bugs crawling all over the place, and the ants, and the uncles, whatever's crawling around over there. And all these animals are coming towards Moshe and Aaron. Oh, this is going to be good. A good thing to watch while we're eating our popcorn and our nosh. And they're all by the windows ready to watch all the animals eating up Chas V'Shalom. And all of a sudden, they can't believe it, Moshe and Aaron are walking through and the animals are standing there, not moving, not going close to them, just letting them go through, just standing there watching them, like little kids watching somebody walk by. And Paro never saw such a thing. He did see a few times when they attacked people. He never saw. And he starts screaming, Bilam, what's wrong with the magic? The magic is not working. What happened? Something went wrong with all the magic to the animals? And Bilam gets an emergency with all the magicians and they start saying all the magic stuff, abracadabras and yappadapadoos or whatever they're saying, abracadabras and all the languages that they know and all the magic words. And it's a state of emergency and all of the magicians, and they're doing everything. They're waving the magic wands over the place. And they're looking at the crystal balls, and they're mixing the pots of magic juice on the stove. And nothing works. The animals are still standing there like statues, like nothing. And now Paro starts to get nervous. But then his general says to him, don't worry, the monster is by the door. You have the two gigantic monsters. Oh yeah, the monsters. And everybody now turns to look at the monsters. And Paro screams, get busy, monsters. Don't let them come closer. Get them. And the monsters ran. These two gigantic monsters are running towards Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron keep walking, and the monsters now, they go down on their knees and they lick the toes of Moshe and Aaron. And they start rolling around like little kitty cats. They're rolling around, and Moshe and Aaron tickle the monsters a little bit. And they pat their head. Nice monster, now go play. And the monsters run away and go play. And now Moshe and Aaron come right through the door. They come right through the door. Remember, this Moshe is the one that grew up in Paro's palace and used to sit on Paro's lap. And he escaped from Mitzrayim, and now he comes back. And Moshe says, happy birthday, Paro. Remember who I am? Paro says, no. Who are you? Don't you remember Moshe? I used to sit on your lap. Remember I took that crown off your head and put it on mine? And you got so angry. Remember that? Remember you tried to chop off my head, Paro? Remember that? Here I am, Paro. Happy birthday. Where have you been? Well, I've been in Midian, Paro, for quite a while. But now I'm coming back. Why are you back? Don't worry, Paro, I don't want to sit in your lap anymore. And I don't want to play with your crown. I only want to tell you one thing. Let the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. It's my people. And of course, Moshe is talking the whole time, but Aaron is actually saying the words to Paro. Let the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. It's enough time, they're slaves. And Paro says, you want the Yidden to go out of Mitzrayim? You? Moshe says, not me. I'm speaking because I'm a shliach of Hashem. Hashem says he wants the Yidden to go to Mitzrayim to serve Hashem on a certain mountain to get Torah and mitzvahs. And Paro says, Hashem? Who's Hashem? Who's Hashem? And Moshe says, come on, Paro, don't play games with me. Hashem is Hashem who made the Shemayim and the Aretz, and he made everything in the whole world. And Paro says, I made the Shemayim and the Aretz and the whole world. I did. Paro called himself a god. He was one of the greatest of the Getchkas, if not the greatest. He made people believe in him like a Getchka. And he says, I never heard of Hashem. Bring me the book of Getchkas. Let me see if I see the name Hashem. And his officer brought him the book of Getchkes, and he opened it up, and he tried to look up Hashem, Hashem. And he could not find Hashem in the book. And Paro says to Moshe, there's no such thing. I don't know any Hashem. He's not in my book. And Moshe says, of course he's not in your book. Whoever wrote that book for sure wouldn't know about Hashem. Hashem is higher than anything in that book. And higher than anybody who wrote that book could understand or figure out. Hashem is higher than the whole world, even though he made the world. Now stop all these baloney mices, Pari, and listen to me. Hashem wants the Yidden to go out of Mitzrayim. Let them out from being slaves to go to serve Hashem on the mountain. Or else you should know that Hashem is going to get you for everything that you have done, everything you're doing. So let the Yidden out. Well, Pari says, I don't believe it. It's just a magic trick. So you're a bigger magician, that's all. Which school did you learn magic in? Bilam learned in the best school over here. The school of black magic in the Black Mountains. Where did you go to school? Moshe said, look, I never learned any magic, and that wasn't magic. Let the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, or else you're going to be finished. And Paroi says to Moshe, what do the Jews want to do with the God of Mitzrayim? Paroi says, what do the Jews want to do when they go out of Mitzrayim? They're going to some mountain? They're going to the mountains? No, says Moshe, they're going to a certain mountain to serve Hashem. They're going to make a special yontif, and they're going to get the Torah and the mitzvahs. Ah, says Paroi, the Yidden are going to make a yontif, a nice yontif, a day off, a good time. It must be the Jews are getting lazy. They have nothing to do, not enough slavery work for them, so they're dreaming about making some kind of a yontif, to have a nice time, a good time. It must be they're not busy enough, so they're dreaming about yontif. Well, let's just see what's going to happen to these Jews. They're not going out of Mitzrayim. I will not let them out. And in fact, I'm going to make them even work harder. And the Pari called his officers and generals of the slavery, and he says, tell me, how are the Jews now making the bricks to build the buildings? And the officers say like this, the Jews take mud, they take piles of straw, dry grass, they mix it up with the mud, they put those into boxes. The boxes are like a mold. In other words, the mud takes on the shape of the box. They dump it out, and it looks just like a brick, but it's soft. They put these soft bricks onto a tray. The tray goes into the ovens, the brick ovens. They bake in there. And when they bake, they get very hard because they get very dry. When they're done, they come out, they cool off, and now they're bricks ready to build with. And Pari says, and where do they get the straw, the dry grass from? Well, there are special people that go around, Mitzrim, they go around and they gather from all the fields the dry straw, and they bring it to the Yidden bags, so that the Yidden have bags of it there, and they put it with the mud. And Pari says, and how many bricks a day are the Yidden making before we take away their children to put them in the walls? And the officers say, 1,000,000 bricks a day. And Paroi says, okay, this is going to be the new command of Paroi. From now on, no bags of straw will be given to make the bricks. And the officers say, but Paroi, if there's no straw in the bricks will not be strong enough. The straw helps to make the bricks to be strong, otherwise they fall apart. Paroi says, I don't mean there will not be straw in the bricks. I mean that the Yidden will not be given the straw. They will have to get the straw by themselves. They will have to go into the fields and they will have to gather up the bags of straw and bring it to use for the bricks. And the officers say, but Paroi, if the Jews take all that time to find straw, they're not going to make as many bricks. They're going to make much less. Now, says Paroi, don't you understand? They have to make also exactly the same amount of bricks, even though they're doing the extra work. They have to work much harder because they're getting lazy. They're dreaming about Yontif by a mountain. It must be they're not working hard enough. They will have to go and get their own straw. They will have to make also 1,000,000 bricks a day, or else we take away a child for every brick that's missing by the end of the day. This is the new command of Paroi. Now go do it! And the generals and the officers run out of the palace. Yes, Paroi! Yes, Paroi! Yes, Paroi! And Moshe and Aaron turn around and they say to Paroi, you will be sorry for this. And they left the palace. And so, kiddies, Moshe and Aharon left Paroi's birthday party. And Moshe was upset. Kinalach, Moshe, of course, believes in Hashem. And believing in Hashem does not mean you believe there is Hashem. Some people make a mistake, and they think, what's believing in Hashem? You believe that Hashem made the world. Because there are some people that, chas v'shalom, do not think Hashem made the world. They say the world was always here by itself. Now, of course, there's other stories and other things to explain how we know that's not true. But the main thing I want to say now is believing in Hashem is not that Hashem is there, that there's such a thing as Hashem. We know there's Hashem. It's a person knows it. If you were walking in a desert and you saw two lines and they were both straight, and they were both one next to the other. Each line was going next to the other line. It's called parallel lines. Right away you would say, somebody was here. Somebody made those lines. Oh, I'm going to look around and find the person that made these lines. Somebody came in the desert and made those two lines. Now, let's say somebody came to you and said, no, there's nobody here. It's the desert. It's the middle of nowhere. And you say, so how did those two lines get there if nobody was here? And they tell you, oh, probably just the wind blew and they happened by themselves. You would never believe them. You would say, that's not true. You know why? It's impossible that two lines should be so straight, one next to the other, and each one is following the other exactly. The space in the middle is so nice and even. Someone smart that was able to do these two lines made them. And you would never believe if the other person drained you a cup and said they happened by themselves. Akinallah, some people think the whole world happened by itself. And if you take a look in the world, you see so many lines that are not just straight following one another, so many smart things that are in the world that are so beautiful and with so many kinds of different smart things working all together. Did you ever look at a leaf or a tree or a person or an animal? These are things that are working not just with two lines that are following one with another. They're working with such smartness. You see that it's smarter than the smartest machine that a person could make. Now, could this happen by itself? The lines in a leaf that are straight sometimes, they happen by themselves, or a flower, or the way a bird is made, or an animal. These things can happen by themselves. I mean, does that make sense to you? Believing in Hashem is not that Hashem is there. Of course, you see Hashem is there. You know Hashem made the world with all the smart things. Believing in Hashem means that even like something terrible, God forbid, happens, you can't understand. like Moshe Rabbeinu now. Hashem sent him to go to Paroi. Kinalach, now Moshe Rabbeinu has a very, very big question. A terrible thing has happened. Hashem sent him to go to Paroi to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu knows there's Hashem, he believes in Hashem, he knows Hashem made the whole world. And Hashem is the one who's in charge and the boss of the whole world. The Yidden have suffered in Mitzrayim for all these years. And Moshe went to Paroi, and he even saw big miracles of how he got into the palace through all the past all the magic animals and the magic monsters, and of course all the guards and everything. And now, instead of Paroi letting the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, he's making them work harder.